Larry.
First item is the Knowles of Liberty Estates, Section 2, Block A subdivision. This is for 18 lots in Liberty Township.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolovet?
Yes.
The second item for approval is Walden Pond subdivision. This is Section 11, Block B in Fairfield Township, 41 lots.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolovet?
Yes.
And the last item I have is a street dedication plat, a dedication of a portion of Kyle Station Road in Liberty Township.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolovet?
Yes.
Do communications?
First, would approve minutes from the last meeting, approve travel and training, salary adjustment for CSEA employee, accept resignation from development and marketing specialist for the CDC, approve five care facility personnel actions, execute contract 6-3 for the county engineer with Elec Incorporated, approve contract 6-1 with Synesis Construction Company, award contract 6-3M to Contact Bridge Solutions for Wayne Trace Road Bridge, award contract 6-8 to John R. Jurgensen Company for intersection improvements, receive and refer bids for 6-9 for raised pavement markers, cancel sidewalk performance bond for Ashwood Section 2. Under environmental services, receive and refer bids for analytical and sampling services, approve extension of public sanitary sewer services to ABC Child Learning Center and water services to Floor Drive to Allen Road Water Main Loop, approve encroachment agreement with Penny E. Dixon, approve agreement to provide temporary relief from manhole installation requirement, amend resolution for refrain from enforcement agreement, accept resignation, approve amendment number 2, agreement with Quest Engineering, approve transfers and appropriations and increase treasurer's general fund budget for early retirement plan. Under job and family services, approve agreement with Butler County Educational Service Center, Head Start, New Miami Local School District and Fairfield School District. Under miscellaneous, approve agreement with Housing Opportunities Made Equal, and accept an agreement with Ohio Attorney General, approve reimbursement to Cartwell for training of EMA, amend resolution for board appointments and modify, approve modification to Dale Wood subdivision.
No changes, I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolovet?
Yes. Thank you.
Larry likes it, you think?
What's that?
Larry likes it.
Yeah. Larry?
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you like to say a few words? Like to welcome Larry Long, Executive Director of the County Commission, Ohio County Commissioners Association.
Good morning, Commissioners. Great, great to be down. I'm going to have lunch with some of your staff, and let me just maybe make a few comments about some association issues and maybe some legislative issues to talk about. First, my primary reason of being here today is we really appreciate, about a year and a half ago, this board served as a conduit issuer for a pool loan program that we put on the road. We issued over $40 million worth of debt. Of course, this was no full faith and credit pledge on behalf of the county, but you certainly served as the conduit of that. I wanted to give you a little report as to where we were on that program. To date, we've issued 10 loans, and they're smaller loans than we've anticipated. We actually have about $30 million left in the pool that we're hoping to loan. And the thing that I wanted to discuss with your staff today is essentially when we close on an individual loan, the fee to Butler County is about $2,000 a loan. The aggregate amount would be about $40,000 over the term. And I guess what we're asking for is some consideration, and want to review this with staff first because we've not introduced them to the concept. One of our problems is it's $2,000 per loan. We anticipated that the average amount of our loan would be a little over $4 million. Frankly, we've had some requests for smaller loans. And so we have some real small counties that don't need that much money, but we think we could benefit them. And so we've about three or four counties that have needed in the range of $200,000 to $300,000 for some projects. When you add the $2,000 on, it increases the total interest cost beyond the point that it's not a real good deal. What we're asking for is, in the end, it boils down, if we loaned all the money, it would be about 50 cents per thousand. And so we're wanting to see if there's an opportunity with the county to allocate that, instead of the $2,000 minimum, to allocate that on a pro rata basis, so those smaller loans will realize a smaller amount of administrative fee and issuance cost, if you'd like. And then in the end, however, there would be no loss of revenue to Butler County. And so we're wanting to prorate it on the basis of the size of the loans, and that's primarily a result we're seeing a lot of demand for smaller amounts of money, and even some refundings and cash flow borrowings in some cases with the budget situations. That's the primary reason.
Larry, is there any work that we do on that? I mean, any staff time?
Not a lot. Initially, there was. Mm-hmm. There was a significant amount of work that Tim and Derek did to begin with on that. I don't think there's an awful lot, but it does take some time to run things through, and it is indeed an additional burden on the county just administratively to do that, and they should be reimbursed for that. We believe you should be reimbursed for that. And those costs were built in. It's just how it's allocated and at what time that we're trying to get consideration of. So that I know we had a small county, Guernsey County, who needed about $230,000 for a little sewer project. And by the time we added the $2,000 minimum fee in on that, it really increased the interest rate to the point that it was not a good deal for them. And we advised them to go elsewhere. And so we'd like to, again, this is an idea of pooling all counties together in some way so that we can benefit everybody. And you've participated in a lot of those programs with us. CORSA, you've been a long-standing member of CORSA. And of course, we're ending our second year, I believe, with you on the SEBCO program. And hopefully that's working out for you. We'll be in a renewal mode this year. And so we've learned that the health insurance business is a lot different than the property and liability business. But we're stable. We know we're going to be there now. And I'll be real truthful with you. I always referred to the health insurance program as the grand experiment. It's no longer an experiment. It's a stable program. We've added another county. We're now at 14 counties, and we hope to grow from there.
I think with the loan program, I think that if we do agree to reduce our fee, that it would have to be based on something that is well publicized, so we're not into a negotiation of each deal that comes along. So if there's a threshold of, you know, $500,000, it's going to be this fee below, or that something like that, so we don't get into that we're going to be negotiating each time.
And again, we're looking for sort of a standard application, and I believe in order to balance the budget would be an application of 50 cents per thousand without the minimum amount in there. So it would be a standard rule for any participant in the program. And again, we do need to work with the underwriters and bond counsel on this to be sure we've got it handled exactly right. But I would like the opportunity to work with your staff and then come back at a later date with a specific recommendation on that. Let me also talk to you about another issue that's before the association, and I'm going to be asking you to consider some additional money for the association next year. And let me give you a little background. I'm going to leave each of you a packet that talks about that, and let me talk about our dues structure within the association and where we've been. As many of you know, this is my 32nd year at the association. I can't believe I had some hair back then, and I wasn't quite this heavy. And the dues schedule for the association has been the same since I've been there. And what it is it's right now the dues for every county is based upon 4.5% of the salaries of the three commissioners combined. And as you know, there's eight population classes. Actually, when I started this job, there were really 34 county compensation classes for all the county elected officials. That was reduced to 14, and then just 4 years ago it was reduced to eight classes, and there's some that believe we should have no more than five different classifications, very frankly, and of course that's a matter for the legislature to consider. And so one of the problems that we're having in the association on the dues, very frankly, is with smaller counties. And we're to the point that we think that in the next 2 or 3 years, we have 5, 6, or 7 counties that actually have budgets below $5 million. Their total general fund budget is over $5 million. We have one county where their total general fund expenditures, believe it or not, are $2.8 million, Vinton County. And they're sitting with the elected official and maybe one other person in virtually every office, maybe except the county auditor's office in that. And so the goal here, and a committee came together to look at that in terms of the long-term implications to the association and our continuing, especially being effective in the legislative realm. Our budget is our dues portion of our budget is about a third. Between 30 and 35%. The rest of the operating revenue is generated through some contributions from the service programs and meeting revenue and a variety of other sources. So we're there. The total amount of money that we generate statewide from dues is a little over $600,000. And the goal of what the committee has recommended is that there be no aggregate increase in the amount. And so it's a reallocation internally among the counties. And frankly, at least the preliminary recommendation of the committee is to ask the six big counties, the eight biggest counties in the state, to really contribute more relative and to give some of the smaller counties a break. And I just wanted to introduce this concept. We have a lot of details as to how this conclusion was come to. And again, it's not been adopted. There could be concerns on the part of bigger counties, and that's why we'd like you to review it in context of your budget. Let me just give you some of the details as it relates to Butler County, and it is a significant increase. The two biggest, frankly, what we've done is we've asked the eight largest counties, and you're in that category, to come to the table, and we're asking, and frankly, you and Lorain County, I believe, are the two greatest impacted counties in terms of dollar amount in this proposal. And that's why I wanted to make a personal appearance today and at least ask you to review this and consider it. I've been asked, it will not be acted on until September, till the third week of September, by our board of directors. We've been asked to go out and talk to counties about this and get their input in it. Right now, in 2006, the dues that Butler County pays to the Commissioners Association is $9,940. And that usually goes up, and that would go up in the next 2 years, at least on the basis of either not more than 3% or the Consumer Price Index in line with how the compensation schedule of commissioners operate. What underneath this proposal, what is being proposed is that Butler County would go in 3 equal increments. And it was a significant increase to $21,218 in calendar year 2009. And that would be increased those would be divided in equal dollar increments over a 3-year period of $3,759 a year for each of the next 3 years. Significant amount of money. We've never gone that far. And again, I just want to make 2 points. I think if we don't do something, three, four, or five years down the road, frankly, we're pricing those small counties with those budgets under $5 million out of the market. It's going to impact our budget, and so we're requesting consideration from larger counties. The other thing I do want to stress is this is not an initiative to raise more money in the aggregate. It would be essentially, other than the inflationary increase in 2009, we would not be generating any new money for the association. We don't see a big need to, frankly, add staff, particularly in the policy and legislative area. I often tell my board, you could give me 4 more lobbyists, and I'm not sure I'm going to do a better job for you in the General Assembly. So I did want to brief you, and I'm going to leave each of you a letter and a copy of that proposal, and one for Derek also. Finally, let me make just a few comments about activities in Columbus. It's relatively quiet right now, thank goodness. Everybody's running for, we got the governor's race, and everybody's very interested in that. We have 3 issues that we're working very hard during the campaign and on both sides. with both campaigns for governor, because we think that's where an awful lot of this rests. First and foremost is the status of local government funds. And I think this county is critical. Senator Cates is the co-chair of a committee that by the end of the year is to make a recommendation on a future of the local government funds. And with the tax reform that took place in the, during the last budget, the local government funds are in as much, if not more, jeopardy than they've ever been, and so we need a new recommendation out those. There's two primary issues that have will impact those local government funds if indeed we go back to the formula allocation and formula share. One of those, and I'm not making a comment that these were bad moves, it's just a fact that it's going to impact us financially. The reductions in the income tax rate, the 4.2% reductions over each of the next years, will reduce the amount of monies that go to the local government fund. And, I'm not saying that's a bad thing that was that the legislature did, but it will negatively impact the revenues that come to the local government funds. And the other one, of course, was the total elimination of the corporate franchise tax. And the replacement, if you want to call it that, with the CAT tax or the commercial activity tax. Under the current program, of course, the counties, townships, municipalities, and park districts share in a portion of the corporate franchise tax. With the commercial activity tax, that will all be eventually retained at the state level. After a period of phase down in terms of some reimbursements, a 5-year reimbursement schedule on the elimination of the tangible personal property tax. And I want to stress that we were indeed to understand the problems with the tangible personal property tax. We think it was probably the worst tax from the standpoint of economic development that this state had. But the problem is that we've really eliminated a local tax that fund local governments and schools, and we've replaced it on a temporary basis and are going to use some of the commercial activity tax to do that, but eventually you're going to see about a $1.2 billion hole in funding for schools and local governments as a result of the elimination of the tangible personal property tax. And so that is one of our second major issues with the campaigns, is some replacement funds in the long run as it relates to the lost revenue of the tangible personal property tax. The third big issue, I guess, that we're looking at is a very emotional issue, and anytime you deal with private property rights, it becomes a very emotional issue. And as many of you know, the U.S. Supreme Court in the Kelo ruling made some rulings in terms of the legitimacy of the use of eminent domain powers to take private property for the use of other private uses in terms of economic development. And a great example in this area, at least one of the big concerns, was the Norwood situation. And I know you've all read an awful lot about that. We had similar situations in Lakewood. And in many ways, however, it's primarily a municipal issue. And I guess the concern that we have is, how do you define economic development? Because virtually any road project or sewer project has an economic development impact. And so it's our hope that we don't really get too much into our basic infrastructure programs, water, sewer, roads, public buildings that we're sitting in that are essential traditional uses for eminent domain. However, with what I consider to be sort of the hysteria that's going on this issue, I'm afraid the legislature may be tempted for it to overflow into the area of our traditional road, bridge, water, sewer, and public building type of elements, and certainly we're willing to look at some procedural changes to protect private property owners and be sure they're fairly compensated, but the whole area of additional restrictions on eminent domain in terms of pure and traditional government purposes we're real concerned about, because it's your responsibility to provide those services, and sometimes you need those tools, and I know you don't use them without an awful lot of thought. I keep saying it's virtually the most painful thing that county commissioners do is when they have to exert eminent domain, and they usually do it only as a total last resort. So, commissioners, appreciate the opportunity of being here today. Be happy to respond to any questions about anything I presented or anything else that you might want to ask us as to what's going on in the association or in the legislature at this time.
Well, Larry, it's always nice to see you.
Great to be here.
Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
And we'll certainly take the two things into consideration. One is, you know, a little bit of a hit to us, but with the
And we understand that. Let me say that a committee was put together. It was put together with a mix of rural and urban commissioners, Commissioner Paula Brooks from Franklin County, Commissioner Peter Lawson Jones. So it wasn't, I want to stress the committee was not dominated by rural commissioners, and they're looking at the long-range issue of sustainability of the association.
Anybody have any questions? Mike?
A couple. With respect to the dues issue, I understand the dynamics of that. It'd be the eight carrying the increase for the bottom. Is that basically what you got?
Well, the eight are going to be asked to come to the table at a little higher level. And essentially what we're doing is we're moving to a straight per capita allocation. However, when we did straight per capita allocations, and there's two tables in your packet that you can look at that shows each county and how they're affected. Mm-hmm. If you did a straight per capita allocation, I don't remember your figure right now, and I'm not going to get fumbled in the packet, but I do remember that if we did a straight per capita allocation for Cuyahoga County, their level of dues would be $83,000. Mm-hmm. And so naturally, that's unreasonable and unrealistic. And so the committee, frankly, established a cap, Mike, of around $20,000 maximum in $2,007. And then the concern was, well, that's way too much in 1 year for any county to go. Cuyahoga County would pay $11,244. Cuyahoga and Franklin pay $11,244. Yours is about $99,40. And so instead of trying to move to that full amount in a in 1 year, we extended it for 2 years, applied an inflationary increase in the subsequent 2 years, and then divided the dollar amount into three annual increments. Beginning in 2010, then the increase would be set, if any, would be set each year by the board well in advance, probably in August of the year. And frankly, they may tie that to either the CPI not to exceed 3% or something like that. That would be my personal recommendation, but they've not taken action on that. And again, they're very interested in just hearing the reaction, because if it really creates a problem or a concern for larger counties, we're to the point that if underneath this new proposal, that if we lose two big counties as a result of the proposal, we're in worse shape than if we lose four or five small counties. And so we understand that issue.
Well, just first blush, and we look at it overall, but I think the value that we receive for the work that you do on our behalf far exceeds the investment we make. When you look at issues like the local government fund and other issues that have extraordinary impacts on our budget, and in this last round, I think the association did just great work on our behalf, and I'm kind of disappointed but not surprised to hear that the assault on the local government fund or local government funds will continue. I look at that as an investment in protecting revenues. I mean, you invest over here in dues to the association, but you get far more than that value back in terms of programs that you're able to help us protect and the interest that we have that you're able to help us advance. So I don't have any particular problem with that. I do have a question regarding a couple of things where I don't know if these issues, there were several issues on the list that we had discussed in the budget conversations that involve state law issues. Mm-hmm. One of which relates to court security costs and the ability to capture some surcharge or whatever on the court fees to cover. I think our costs now are exceeding, I don't know, is it $500,000, $600,000?
Yeah,
about $500,000 a year. And they keep going up. Is there any chance that we could get some modification on what the court has told us is, I mean, they're not too enthused about making any fee increases, but what they've told us is that because it's an existing program, they can't add any court cost fees. So basically, that was one of the items we wanted to see if we could get changed at the legislative level. You aware of our interest in doing that, and what's the status?
Mr. President, Mike, yes. Well, I wasn't aware of your particular interest in this, other than it's a broad issue statewide. We have John Lights on our staff who works those issues, is involved in discussions with the Ohio Judicial Conference, the Supreme Court, the Administrative Director of the Ohio Supreme Court, in terms of the next budget. And it's our hope that we can try to find something. Some of you may recall that some years ago the legislature did appropriate money for capital.
Yeah.
Expenses, but as we say, it's sort of like the jail.
Yeah.
We get money, but you get it one time. It's easy to buy the stuff, or it's easy to build the stuff, but you got to run it forever and operate it. So it's the operational support. And one of the options is the courts are very concerned about additional court costs. Now, as you know, there are some authorities within individual courts to establish special project fees, a variety of fees, and that's frankly the mechanism that I think that's the primary mechanism that we're working on that. And I'll be sure you get a briefing. I'll be sure you each get a briefing as to where we are on those discussions from John.
What our judges did with respect to the special project fees, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but they ran off to the Attorney General and got an opinion that said the special project fee could only be established if the project did not exist prior to its establishment. In other words, if I have no idea how they came to that conclusion, but I think it was one of those hometown decisions, but nonetheless, they got what they wanted, which was the AG opinion to say, now the AG opinion, when you get one that you like, you say it's the law. When you get one you don't like, you say it's just another lawyer's opinion until a court says something different. But from a legislative standpoint, is there any chance we could get something like that through the legislature? Court security is a very real issue that affects every county, and it really starts to eat into your budget.
Well, you've been there, Greg, you've been there, and you know that a lot of times what they want is that the legislature often wants consensus between us and the judicial branch on those issues before they step in. And so, it's possible, but what we want to try to do is we want to try to come to consensus with the judicial branch and with the Supreme Court, because it would probably be incorporated in their budget, and try to go in with a consensus proposal. I'm not saying that we can't do that in the absence of that, but our first initiative is to try to find a way to take care of those things where there's consensus between the Supreme Court, the Judicial Conference, and ourselves, and we are indeed working quietly right now, seeing if we can develop something like that.
I think that's something that could help as far as the fees, but by the same token, there's an awful large percentage of the people that go through court that really can't afford it, and you're not going to get it. So I think that we have to keep that in mind as well when we look at these things. As far as the court's concerned, I mean, there's two sides to the coin.
Well, yeah, and that's one reason, at least on the court cost side, why many in the judiciary have gotten to the point that, and I know even the Supreme Court has opposed many of our initiatives to try to increase court costs for things like public defender funding and things like that. And you do get to the point that if they waive some, they have to waive all of it. And we're getting to the point in some of these jurisdictions, frankly, that the court cost is exceeding the fines. And we're cognizant of that, but we're looking for new ways to do this, and we're seeing more and more reluctance out of the General Assembly in terms of funding these types of initiatives and these types of problems, particularly at the local level, out of the State General Revenue Fund. I often tell commissioners, and you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you right now, is that in the long run, you're going to make it work here on your own initiative, and we're not and we're not going to get an awful lot more out of the general assembly. That doesn't mean we're going to not be in there slugging every day to try to do that. But it's no different with the general assembly. The first thing they're going to do is balance their budget if there's anything left over. And then when you tie all the politics as to who's going to be responsible for finding the revenue, well, the legislature would rather see you increasing taxes than they'd rather see you increasing taxes or revenue. And so we are looking more and more for fee-based, non-tax revenue sources and authorities. And that's a dilemma for counties, because so much of the fees that are charged at the county level are established statewide by state statute, not recognizing the unique differences in cost of delivery in various counties. But we are looking more and more for non-tax revenue sources to try to drive service-related functions.
Mr. President?
Yes.
In fact, there's a whole list of items frankly, I don't even want to go down the road of asking the legislature for any money, because this is a matter of survival. They're going to take care of themselves first, as you say. But what would be helpful is as you point out, there are a number of fees that they restrict our ability to, you know, all I want is more flexibility in a lot of these cases that some of these fees haven't been adjusted for years. So we'd identified some that we thought, you know, could bear some increase. So you have the user paying for the service they're receiving. So that's an area where we would like to. I mean, I'd like to work more closely with you tonight.
We'd love to work with you. Let me just make one other comment. One thing we'd like to do later this fall in the next couple months is we'd like to bring our whole staff. I'd like to talk to Derek about this afternoon. And we're making an effort in particular to go to the big 8 or 10 counties, where we bring all our staff to have sort of a round table with discussion with the commissioners and their department heads.
That'd be great.
At a variety of ways. And it's not only on, as you say, you know, I think, you know, we're not in too bad. We sort of know what everybody would like us to go to the legislature and ring the cash register and bring things there. That's really, in a long run, unrealistic. So we're looking for two things: new ways to generate revenue, new creative ways to generate revenue, number one. And number two, changes in state law that make it easier to do the job that you have to do. There's a lot of impediments, particularly in county government, unlike in municipal government, in a variety of ways, where state laws are outdated, some of them dating to the 1880s and 1890s, and it's just not a very business-like way of doing things. So we're trying to initiate something with that and reaching out particularly to your staff specialists that work purchasing, work the budgets, work child support, work job and family services, those areas, so that we can try to make a difference in little ways that we think, if you put enough of those little things together, we can contain at least the rate of growth of spending that we'll have to take. I'm not going to say we're going to reduce costs. That's ambitious. But we'd like to accomplish that, but we want to try to do management improvements and legislation that will allow us to accomplish things that we can do a better job at less cost.
Thank you, Larry.
Mr. President, I just two quick questions. I know that Commissioner Jolivet has to leave, but what's the word? I keep hearing that there are a lot of unallocated or reserve TANF or funds in human services. I mean, several hundred million. What can you share with us about that and what's going on with them?
Well, I'm not as good at that as some of my staff, because they work day in and day out. The legislature did allocate over $100 million and put a new $100 million on the street. There's still what some consider to be quote excess monies.
I mean, Jack fracked out in
County. Jack wants to increase the entitlement by $100 per person per month to spend that down. And our concern is that as you get down the road 4 or 5 years, at least the projections that we see from the Department of Job and Family Services, and I think we confirm some of that, is that, you know, it looks like a big balance right now, but as you move down the road, we're going to be in a more difficult situation. So we're trying to keep some of that there so that we don't run short 3 or 4 years from now.
Well, I don't want to increase your ongoing costs, but Do you have any idea what that surplus or unallocated amount, what the range of estimates are?
Mike, that I've seen, at one point it was high as $900 million. I think the most recent figures I've seen is it's down to about $700 million sitting there. But again, you got to look down the road and project what some of the additional expenses are. So at least the administration going through that, and we were asked for input in terms of ways to spend that. It's either $100 or $200 million in the budget reappropriation bill that they allocated in terms of ways and good programs, initiatives to use. And a lot of those were, frankly, one-time types of initiatives, because if you start doing another entitlement, then you're going to give it to people, and then you're eventually going to have to take it away. So we did a lot of that, a lot of ideas, and the department has, it's my understanding, is in the process of putting out guidelines and guidance through, some of those rules are through the clearance process right now in terms of the utilization of those additional monies. And I'm sorry, I can't remember if it was 100 or 200. My recollection is I think it was a $200 million additional spending authority for the department.
There's on the low side about $700 million left.
I believe that's a relatively accurate figure, yeah. And I'll confirm that with you.
And finally, on any hope...
Mike, before you go, I'm going to have to step out. I got to be...
Okay, well then, I'll just talk to you afterward.
Okay.
I've got a couple things.
Well, yeah. That's fine. You can...
No. That's okay.
Okay. I've got to catch up.
Thank you. Let me just... If I might...
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who want to address County Commission this time?
Commissioners, yeah. Have one resolution that's to move Don Everson from part-time to full-time.
Moved to approve.
She coming back?
Yeah.
Good.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner
Dalbeck?
Yes.
Moved to adjourn. Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Dalbeck?
Yes.
Thanks, man. Thank you.